Well, did you hear about the firing of the Christian employee from Macy's? And is it true that the United States is now going to lead the world in campaigning for gay rights?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Did you hear about the call to boycott the Salvation Army by gay activists? Did you hear about the front cover story, front page story of Boston Globe on Sunday about the twins, one of whom is growing up as a male, the other who is a male but is growing up as a female and is already several inches shorter than his brother because of the hormone treatments he is on and identified as a girl? And did you hear, of course, about Hillary Clinton's speech and President Obama's memo? Yeah, a whole lot to talk about, but we're going to be practical and we're going to be proactive here on The Line of Fire. Thanks for joining us this Wednesday, which means our focus is on the world, on moral and cultural issues. And you better believe God cares about the world. You better believe that we are called to be lights in dark places. And as Martin Luther King urged, that the church is to be the moral conscience of the society. Thanks so much for joining us today, Michael Brown. Delighted to be with you. And I've got a question for you. Here's the number to call, and I'll give you the question. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Or if you go to our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. I've put a question up there. And I'm not asking you what church you're part of. I'm not asking you to be critical of leaders in the body. I'm asking you, as someone who is a believer and part of a congregational community, or if you are a leader, a pastor, a Christian leader, I'm asking this question. Do you believe that pastors and Christian leaders should be watchmen on the wall and serve as prophetic voices to the society and to the church? And separate but related question, should they address political issues? Let me ask that again. Do you believe that pastors and Christian leaders should be watchmen on the wall and serve as prophetic voices to the society and to the church? Should they address political issues? By prophetic voices, I mean speaking God's heart, God's mind to the church and to the society, but speaking God's heart and mind based on God's values as laid out in the Word, based on what God's Spirit is saying in conjunction with the Word. And that also means dealing with societal issues. That also means if it was during the time of slavery, that the church would have a message to society about slavery. If it was in the time of segregation, that the church would have a message to society about segregation. In the midst of abortion, that the church would have a message to society concerning that. If we lived in Hitler's Germany, that the church would have a message for society, and that the leaders would have a message for the church, so that we would be awake. Or do you feel that, no, that's a distraction. That's a distraction. We need to be building people up to love Jesus, to be strong in prayer, to be solid husbands, wives, moms, dads, reach the lost. And we do that, and that's more than enough. That is more than enough. And we don't have to think about these other issues. They're a distraction. So I'm going to talk about a bunch of very intense things. In India last week, I didn't get to some of these, and I've got, I think, the biggest stack of items that I've ever had or that I've had in memory. I'm going to get to a lot of it over these next 2 hours, so whatever part of the broadcast you can hear, drink it in, take it in. But here's what I'm asking you. If you're a congregant, if you're a member of a congregation, do you want your pastor or leader addressing these things? Do you want your pastor or leader addressing issues in society and bringing God's mind to that situation? And do you feel that pastors, leaders should be speaking to the world, having a message for the world, along with get saved, believe in Jesus, turn from your sins, also a message, a prophetic witness? Pastors, leaders, do you feel that's your call? 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, yes. We are dead serious about a moral, cultural, spiritual revolution based on the principles of Jesus, based on the gospel method, based on overcoming evil with good, based on overcoming hatred with love. Do you believe that your pastor, leader of your congregation, should be addressing social issues and should also be a voice to the society? Or would you say, no, that's not why I'm part of a body. That's a distraction. That's going to make us just like the world. Or is the response, of course, they can cover these other things. They can deepen us in God and challenge us to grow in God. But of course we can discuss these other issues. We should. And pastors, leaders, how do you feel in terms of your calling? Would it be a distraction for you to address these other issues? Or do you realize you have a responsibility to? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, AskDrBrown.org. All right, phone lines are lit up. I will be getting to calls pretty soon today, but I've got a bunch of things I want to cover. I'm holding in my hand a 500-plus page book called Obama and the Gays, A Political Marriage, edited by Tracy Baim. I just want to say that we told you in advance Mr. Obama's stances on these issues. We told you in advance that he would be the most radical gay activist-friendly president and pro-abortion president in America's history. Sad but true. We told you in advance. The one thing I regret is when we warned people that some simply didn't listen. Felt that, no, we're prejudging or it's not true. Well, we warned you. We warned you based on evidence of who he was and what he said, and he has proven true to that. All right, commend him for being true blue, that he said that he favored gay activist causes, and he stood up for them. But absolutely oppose what he's stood up for. Now, he and Hillary Clinton, speaking to the world, and saying plainly, wake up, nations. You better get on the right track here with gay activism. So, and Africa is not happy with this. Over 1 billion people in Africa, virtually every country in Africa has laws against homosexual practice. Yeah, we deplore when homosexual men or women are just rounded up and beaten or attacked or killed. Of course we deplore that. And we absolutely say that sovereign nations can make the moral stance that they make based on saying certain sexual practices are legal and certain are not. We deplore the violent, angry, hateful attacks on human beings, and every citizen of every country should be protected, should have equal rights from being attacked or being assaulted or being killed. But there's no universal right to practice whatever sexual practice comes naturally to you. There's no universal right for that. And it is outrageous for our government, for Mrs. Clinton and for Mr. Obama, to make these statements and to issue memos and to step things up and say, you're going to conform. What about the Muslim world? How do you think the Muslim nations look at this? So Hillary Clinton, this was last week. I just didn't get to the story because of India. In a speech, LifeSite News reports Ben Johnson reporting, in a speech designed to convince the world that gay rights are human rights and human rights are gay rights, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said religious objections to homosexuality should not stand in the way of vigorous United Nations action to promote the homosexual rights agenda. On Tuesday, Clinton said promoting the global acceptance of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people is one of the remaining human rights challenges of our times, likely in the effort to ending racial, sexual, or religious discrimination. She noted that perhaps the most challenging issue arises when people cite religious or cultural values as a reason to violate or not to protect the human rights of LGBT citizens. These objections, she said, quote, are not unlike the justification offered for violent practices towards women like honor killings, widow burning, or female genital mutilation. She has the audacity to say that if a nation says we oppose homosexual practice, we do not endorse same-sex marriage, we don't believe that we should embrace cross-dressing, we don't sanction these things, we don't sanction men having sex with men and women having sex with women, that's just like honor killings, where in the Muslim world, if maybe a girl has a cell phone and it's considered too modern for their society, the brother will kill her. Or if they feel she's getting too worldly or dating a worldly guy, the father will kill her. She's comparing those things to opposition to homosexual practice. She stated, worldwide opinions are still evolving on homosexuality as they did with slavery. And what was once justified as sanctioned by God is now properly reviled as an unconscionable violation of human rights. In each of these cases, we came to learn that no religious practice or tradition trumps the human rights that belong to all of us. So she is comparing opposition to homosexual practice to promotion of slavery. Clinton said that notions that gay people are pedophiles, that homosexuality is a disease that can be caught or cured, or that gays recruit others to become gay are simply not true. She does not believe that gay activists want to recruit people, meaning say to people who have questions, hey, explore this. Say to people, explore different sexual aspects of your personality, and perhaps you're actually gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, that by telling little children from the earliest ages that homosexuality is no different than heterosexuality, they're just perfectly acceptable variations, or that you might be a boy trapped in a girl's body, and so explore your transgender identity. They're not trying to recruit. The president issued a memo, fact sheet working to advance the human rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender persons globally. Quote from President Obama, December 6, 2011, the struggle to end discrimination against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender persons is a global challenge and one that is central to the United States' commitment to promoting human rights. The memorandum directs agencies to combat the criminalization of LGBT status or conduct abroad. So, that America is now opposing any nation that has laws against homosexual practice. America, our country, our president, our Secretary of State. Protect vulnerable LGBT refugees and asylum seekers. Leverage foreign assistance to protect human rights and advance non-discrimination. So non-discrimination ultimately means, like, here, you've got Susquehanna Township. Have a new controversial gay rights ordinance. Report says some people are feeling a little flush last Friday after a local township approved a new ordinance that could mean men and women may share public bathrooms. Because if the man feels he's a woman, he uses the woman's bathroom. Woman feels she's a man, she uses the man's bathroom. This, and it was voted 7-1. Hey, world, get ready for it. And America's going to push you. You know, right under the book that I mentioned a moment ago, Obama and the Gays of Political Marriage, is another book by David Swift, Black Prophets of Justice, Activist Clergy Before the Civil War. It's a book about six black clergymen, two of them fugitive slaves who lived in the antebellum North and protested the racism of the time. All these men had much in common. They were all noted for their education and eloquence. All were ministers of the earliest black Presbyterian congregational churches, and all were activists towards social change. Is this part of our kingdom message, to be prophets of social justice? I know what God has called me to do. I know, in that sense, the prophetic voice that I'm called to be. Is this normal for other leaders? Should all pastors, in that sense, also be prophetic voices to the society? Or are we mixing the world with the church? Or are we mixing spirituality with politics? 866-34-TRUTH. John in Newark, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, John.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can. If you talk, you're on the air.
Okay, great. I think we have to be careful as pastors, as church leaders, not to become political. That was not our call. While we should address certain issues, I don't think we should spend the bulk of our time talking about the Republicans or the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should be lifting up the name of Jesus. I think once we spread the gospel, stepping outside of the church, in the communities, I think the more people are saved, the less we have to worry about these politicians spreading or supporting gay rights,
right,
or issues that are plaguing our society.
Yeah, let me ask you this, John.
Yes.
If we're spreading the gospel, and I'm with you in terms of emphasis, of course, but if we're spreading the gospel, that gospel has to include matters of justice and righteousness. Otherwise, when people get saved, they don't understand that they're supposed to make a difference in the world. So the gospel that we spread to the world has to be more than just get saved and go to church. It has to be transformed and go into your world and make a difference.
Yeah, so, I agree with that 100%. I think in the process of them being saved, once you actually get to know Christ, you can understand what God's will is for your life. Whatever gift or talent that you have, you can use that.
Got it. Just to jump in because we got a break. I want to take this up on the other side of the break. Do God's people understand that being a follower of Jesus means being a world changer? Do we get that? Do we understand that?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for being with us today on The Line of Fire. We're talking about pressing moral, social issues in America today, as we do on Wednesday. A whole lot of different things I want to get into that relate to that, a lot of specific stories. But the big question, what's the role of pastors and leaders? Are pastors and leaders to be prophetic voices to the society, bringing a word of conscience to the society, reminding the society of what is right and what is wrong, challenging by our deeds and by our words, challenging a complacent, worldly church or a lost, dying society? Or is that a distraction? If we just lead people to Jesus, is that all that needs to happen? Or if we lead them to Jesus, the way we're leading them to Jesus these days, doesn't always do a lot of good, because we get multiplied tens of millions of Christians in America, and America's in a mess. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, Facebook page, you can weigh in on the discussion at Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. Okay, before I go back to the phones, next week, some special program. Actually, starting tomorrow, we'll be answering a lot of Jewish questions tomorrow. Then I'll be interviewing a colleague, Jeff Cohn, in Jewish ministry, talking about some keys to Jewish evangelism. But next Monday, everybody get ready for Monday, because Monday is a totally caller-driven program. We're going to debate Christmas. We do this every year. Every year I can remember we've been doing this. Should followers of Jesus celebrate Christmas? We'll take that up next Monday. And then Tuesday of next week, Craig Keener, Professor Craig Keener, one of the most prolific and gifted New Testament scholars in the world today, and a humble, genuine man of God. We will be talking about his new book, Miracles, for 2 hours next week. Okay, I absolutely believe that our central message is Jesus and him exalted to the glory of the Father. Jesus, the Messiah, crucified and risen, with a call to all human beings to repent and turn to God and put their faith in him to save them, cleanse them, wash them, and begin a brand new life. I also believe Romans 14:17, that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6, Romans 14. The kingdom of God is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy. There is an aspect where we are called to be salt and light, and if we simply think, well, I get saved, and now I have a relationship with God, everything's wonderful, okay, well, is that where it stops? Is that the end all? If you're part of a congregation, do you want to hear your pastors and leaders speaking up and speaking out and addressing social issues? Would you have wanted them to in the days of slavery? Would you have wanted them to in the days of segregation? Just looking at American history. Do you want them to now in these days of abortion, in these days of homosexual activism? If your city was a major human trafficking city, would you want them addressing those things? If your city was involved in major violent crime, and exploitation of poor and needy people, would you want shepherds to address those things? And if you're a shepherd, if you're a leader, do you have a burden? Do you have a sense of calling to address these things? Angelia in Houston, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
I believe that pastors should be prophetic voices to the world. Otherwise, the world won't know God's truth.
Pretty simple, isn't it?
And yes, you know, they should address these issues because they have to be addressed. I mean, the world has to know God's viewpoint. However, I'd like to give an example, though.
Mm-hmm.
If what could be a problem, though, is if a pastor or someone is not able to be courageous enough to stand on God's truth, no matter what the consequences might be, an example would be there was a pastor of a mega church who made a comment on the Pierce Morgan show about gay marriage, and of course, you know, he spoke forth God's viewpoint. He did, mm-hmm. and that was excellent, great. But however, to go and say that you would attend a gay marriage, then that's contradicting yourself. You know, if that's against God's viewpoint, then we as believers cannot go and be involved and go to a gay marriage, because then we're saying that that's okay. So that could also be a problem when a pastor of a mega church makes that type of comment.
Well, yeah, I mean, the fact is, we're going to say some things that are unpopular. We're going to say some things that people don't like. We have to walk in love. We have to be full of the Spirit. We have to be led by the Spirit. We can't make this a fleshly battle. We must recognize that Jesus died for all people, and our enemy is the devil, not people.
Yes.
At the same time, we're going to have to go against the grain. We're going to have to swim against the tide. And like you said, if leaders don't speak to the world, how is the world going to know? Thank you for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Michelle in D.C., thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Mr. Brown. I completely agree with you that pastors and those of us who are ministers of the gospel, whether we're ordained or not, we are called to be salt and light of the world, meaning bring attention to those things that the world does not recognize, because the world does not consider the same things ungodly that we do, because we are of God. So it's not either or, it's both and. I believe that all of us have our own individual callings, but just as Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God, he also fed people. He said, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but he also cared about people dying, people being fed, people being clothed. So I think that we should be responsible and mindful of all the things that Jesus was mindful of as well. And,
yeah, if we're going to do our best to minister to the poor, the hurting, the needy. I think society believes that Christians should be involved in doing that. Society believes that Christians should be feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and caring for the poor, and they might even criticize us, why don't we do more of that? Well, that means then that God cares about earthly things, that God cares about the needs of individuals, and if someone is being exploited, if someone is being taken advantage of, if little children are being raped by predators, you know, whatever the things that are taking place, we are God's mouthpiece and we are God's hand in the society to make a difference. Hey, Michelle, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Pastors, leaders, if you're listening, I think there may be more folks in your congregation who will encourage you to stand up for what's right. We're not talking about turning your church into a political campaigning headquarters or every week talking about politics and politicians. I'm talking about issues of righteousness. We are the prophetic voice of God in the society. That's a function of the church. Can we rise up into it? A resource that we have this week ties in exactly with what I'm talking about. Two books in one of mine, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, and It's Time to Rock the Boat. Those two books together with a six-hour class by Pat Mahoney on confronting Congress, culture, media with the gospel. Together, like $45, you can get them $25, postage paid, two books in one, and the CD. It'll rock your world, trust me. Call us at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. Hey, come on. It's time. Let's rise. Let's shine.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nations. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've got so many things here in this stack of moral crises taking place, unfolding in front of our eyes. And I can't imagine for a second that God's people, leaders, believers, are not supposed to be addressing these things. They grieve God. God cares about the people involved. I can't believe that this is, well, that's the world. We just deal with spiritual things. Well, don't pastors deal with marriage? And pastors maybe talk about sexual purity and the dangers of pornography? Those are things of this world. We're in this world. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I will tell you about the Macy's employee who got fired. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But first the story, and then we'll get back to your calls, all right? Front page of the Boston Globe this Sunday. And I went to print this, and it was 15 pages to print the way it was laid out. So I'm sure the actual article didn't run that long, but this is a multi-page article. Front page of the Boston Globe, led by the child who simply knew. The twin boys were identical in every way but one. Wyatt was a girl to the core, and now now lives as one with the help of a brave, loving family and a path-breaking doctor's care. So twin boys, Jonas and Wyatt, identical twins, but within a few years, they begin to see Jonas is all boy. Wyatt favored pink tutus and beads at one point. I don't know at what age. The grandmother gives Wyatt a princess dress. So early on, Wyatt is convinced that he is really a girl. And after a lot of struggles with it, they finally find this Dr. Spack. I talk about all this in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Not this story, but related stories. They find this Dr. Spack at the Children's Hospital in Boston. He's dealing with something like 150 people aged like 4 to 25. And what they do, ultimately, name change, that the boy becomes a girl by name and gets on hormone blockers to stop the onset of puberty. So the boy is now known as Nicole, been on this hormone therapy for some years now, several inches shorter than his brother. And I know this is a very intense situation. I'm not condemning the parents who struggled mightily with this and felt, well, it's just a girl's brain and a boy's body. Some would argue that in the womb, with identical twins, the males are washed with a certain hormone in the womb, or hormone bath, I should say, and it may not have happened to the other, and that's why one is more masculine, the other is more feminine. People have all these theories, but there's nothing concrete that anyone can point to. The one thing we know is that we don't know the consequences of putting a child on hormone blockers. Now there's several inch difference between them. The next step is to start getting female hormones into the boy, so that he will go through puberty as a woman, and then as he's old enough to have sex change surgery, then we'll have it. And I mean, you're talking radical stuff with children. And experts in this would say that probably the majority of kids who have gender identity disorder, once they go through puberty, no longer have it. Now, many of them will identify as homosexual. It's true. But the fact of the matter is that many just grow out of this and change. And either way, this is, you're experimenting with a kid. I often quote Professor Paul McGough of Johns Hopkins University, the head of the psychiatric department there, a highly esteemed leader in the field, that he said, this is child abuse. This is a form of child abuse. But this is being celebrated now. And America wants the whole world to embrace it. I say the church must have a voice, compassion for these families, but a prophetic voice about right and wrong.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What if a child was 100% convinced that they should not have a left arm and they were tormented by its presence? Someone with body identity integrity disorder would suffer from that. Would it be okay to amputate that arm? The fact of the matter is, what is being done to this kid is far, far more radical, and yet we're supposed to accept it, and it's being celebrated. Front page of Boston Globe, of course, a notoriously liberal newspaper, but front page being celebrated. Not the first such article that's been written there, but this the most radical in terms of the treatment. And as much as I understand the child knows certain things about himself or herself, there are also things where there's a way to work with kids to help them accept reality, which is, no, you're a boy. God made you a boy. If you're not a religious person, you are a boy. You're physically, anatomically, genetically a boy, and you have to accept that. Here, let me play this clip, and then we will go to the phones. This was a testimony that was given in California before the passing of SB 48. This is a young woman named Sarah Alice Yang.
Proud graduate of UC Berkeley, and I currently work in the film industry in LA. The reason I'm here before you today is because I spent 19 years of my life living as a man. My first words were, "I'm a boy." If anyone can claim that they were born this way, it was me. I thought I had no choice but to either get surgery or continue dating women as a man trapped in a girl's body. I became suicidal not because of societal pressures or lack of understanding or acceptance from others, but because I personally didn't want to live this way, because it was a detrimental and painful lifestyle, and no one offered me any other choice or option but to be this way.
Well, she goes on with her story. Now she found the Lord, was transformed. Now she is marrying the love of her life and can't wait to get married to her husband to be. The fact of the matter is, there are people who have changed, and there are others who had sex change surgery to talk about the torment afterwards and the suicide attempts afterwards. Does the church have no voice? Are we not to speak up and speak out? I want to take a few more calls on that larger subject, but first, this specific story from Boston. Jeff, in Boston right now, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Oh, yes, sir, Mike. Well, Mike, I did look at the story from Brian Kamica's website, Mass Resistance.
Yes.
And I couldn't even read it. It was so grieving. And let me tell you, I'm going to answer the other question, too, about why pastors don't preach strong. Very, very simple. When a doctor does this kind of grievous abomination, he is provoking God to judge the city, because that doctor is allowed to do that. That doctor should have his license stripped. Very, very simple. There are three sins that bring judgment upon a city: homosexual marriage, abortion, and going against the land of Israel. And let me tell you, the reason why pastors don't preach that is because pastors will lose their customers and will have about 10 people in their church. Very, very simple. Boston is on the edge, along with other liberal fashions. Do a study of history, as you know. When cities do this kind of thing, look, 9/11 was a judgment from God because they had the Stonewall Rebellion.
Jeff, hang on. So you feel that pastors and leaders are afraid to speak out because if they did, they would lose their congregants?
Yes.
And, okay, hey, I appreciate you
God
weighing
bless
in on
you.
This. And the info you got there, the Mass Resistance website, chock full of eye-opening, shocking information. I'm sure there are some pastors and leaders who are man-pleasers, who are mercenaries, and I'm sure there are plenty of others who are strong and courageous. I want to encourage my fellow leaders to speak up and speak out with love, with wisdom, led by the Spirit, but to speak up and to speak out. Otherwise, there will be no voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the world. Let me say this again. If we do not speak out, there will be no voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the world. Who else will do it? 866-34-TRUTH. And I also want to encourage leaders that your congregants want you to stand, want you to speak. Oh, not everyone in every setting. And I'm not saying that we just major on this. We've got to nurture and build people up in the Lord and equip them to do the will of God and reach out and touch the world. But this is part of it. This is part of it. Just like I take one day a week to focus on moral cultural issues. What saddens me, though, is how many emails I get, how many people approach me and say things to the effect. I mean, it's wrong. It's not true. But you're the only one, or you're one of a few. That shouldn't be the case. I know it's an exaggerated statement, but that shouldn't be the case. 866-34-TRUTH. Our friend Chaplain Viviana in Brooklyn, nice to hear from you today. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the
Hello?
Air. Yes, you're
okay.
on the air.
Thank you so much for this topic. I was just thinking about the biblical examples of these prophetic watchmen. Joseph, who fed the just and the unjust, Daniel, who would not bow the knee to idolatry, Esther, who exposed Haman, and by that saved the nation, Deborah, who led the nation of Israel into the battle. And there was a group of pastors, Michael, that the New York State Director of Faith-Based Initiatives was talking to them today in New Rochelle. She had seen 1,000 of the false prophets up there when the same-sex marriage vote was going on.
Yep.
And she was looking around and she was saying, where are the godly pastors? Might they have turned the tide for this?
Mm.
And boy, I'm getting chill bumps because now instead of just LGBT, they're adding the letter Q, queer, to this whole shebang. So it's even going further if we don't stop it now.
Yeah, and in fact, in my book I mentioned this is commonly called the alphabet soup, that
mm-hmm.
you have G L, so gay, lesbian. Then bisexual had to be added in, so GLBT, then T for transgender, then Q for questioning or queer, then I for intersex, which is actually a physical
Ooh.
Condition, and then P. So I was trying to figure out what P was, but P is pansexual, which is basically anything and everything goes. And the logic is that there can't be a limit to it. In other words, if you ask one of these activists a simple question, how many genders are there? Well, it's a simple answer, two. No, it's not simple. It's not simple. They'll say there are multiple genders, and you can't just say two because, you know, as gay psychiatrist Jack Drescher says, there are more than 6 billion people in the world today. You need more than two genders. Where is the sanity going to come from if not from us? Where is the sanity going to come from if not from us? Macy's fires employee for protecting women's dressing rooms from cross-dresser. A young woman was fired from a Macy's department store. This was also a little over a week ago, but again, because of my India trip, I didn't get to it last week. A young woman was fired from a Macy's department store for refusing to violate her religious beliefs by permitting a young man dressed as a woman from entering the women's dressing room. Natalie Johnson claims she saw the young man walk out of the women's fitting room and politely told him he could not go back in because it was for women only. Is this rocket science? Do you need to have multiple PhDs in sociology and anthropology to figure this out? It's a man dressed as a woman who wanted to use the women's fitting room. And Natalie said, you can't. The cross-dressing young man claimed that he is a female. Johnson said that he was wearing makeup and girls' clothing, but clearly he was a male. The cross-dresser was accompanied by 5 other individuals. The group argued with expletives that Macy's is LGBT-friendly. That's what it means now. To which Johnson replied that Macy's is also non-discriminatory toward religion and that it would go against her religious beliefs to lie that he was a woman or compromise with homosexuality. The group then demanded to speak with a manager, and Natalie was fired, as in fired. Liberty Counsel is taking her case. If we don't speak up, who's to blame when this completely floods our society? Iris in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, hi. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to respond. Definitely, yes. The church is the voice of God to the world and the conscience to the nations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in John 3:16, you know, we read that God so loved the world, not that he just so loved the church. And it goes on to say that whosoever, not whosoever from the church, whosoever believes should have eternal life. Okay, so God's word himself, even Jesus spoke to the issues of the day.
And the right, so if God cares about the whole world, it doesn't just mean cares about the world so that people will be born again and go to heaven. It means he cares about this world and what happens in it, and righteousness and oppression and injustice. He cares about it. He cares about it when a crowd of people beats a homosexual man to death, and he cares about it when gay activists want to sexualize their children. He cares, and we, God's people, are his voice.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I haven't gotten to the Salvation Army story yet. That may have to wait for the next hour. Yeah, Salvation Army. Gay activists are calling for boycott of giving to the Salvation Army because of their stance on marriage and other biblical viewpoints. I kid you not. 866-34-TRUTH. Carlton in Bloomfield, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. God bless you.
Bless you, man. Thanks.
I know every time I call up, I probably like a broken record, but the church today is in such a dire strait. The church has forgotten its message. The church has forgotten its mission. And instead of building believers up in the faith, instead of building believers up in the word of God's grace, you know, we fixed ourselves to our own ambition, whether they be social, political, or even selfish and carnal. But until believers go and are buried with Christ in baptism, there will be no life of Christ in the church to touch this dying and sick world. Not that the world should be ignored, because the Bible said that Christ came to save. He came to save the sinners. He came to save me. He came to save you.
Yeah.
And the world from sin.
And what it means, yeah.
The world is going to see Christ is through the church if we will carry our cross, deny ourselves. That means death to self.
Yep, so let me just jump in, Carlton. I appreciate your passion. I want to give others a chance as well. Bottom line is, we can't give what we don't have. We can't give what we don't have. To the extent that we have encountered God, we can share that with the world. To the extent that we are walking in light, we can shine light into this dark world. To the extent that we have been delivered, we can bring deliverance to others. Jesus came to set the captives free. And look, as previous callers mentioned, examples from the Old Testament, those are there to be examples for us. Even though there are changes between Old Covenant and New Covenant, the 1 Corinthians 10 makes plain that the things that happened before, Romans 15 makes plain, other passages make plain that those are examples for us today. Audrey in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Audrey.
Yes, hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, I am calling to say to you that I've been listening to what you have been saying, and I wanted you to know that those of us who pray, we should fast and pray that God remove the spirit of deceit, because it has held us bondage, those who don't know Christ, who are using the children and telling them, because they don't know. They don't know what they're feeling. And we are encouraging them to think that they are so different and doing this sex change thing. So it is a spirit of bondage. And when you're in that bondage, you do not know.
Yeah,
you don't know.
Audrey, for sure, we have to be intercessors. At the very least, everyone has to agree there that the highest form of ministry we can do is on our knees in the presence of God praying. Look, when I was doing drugs, I thought I was cool. I'm not comparing doing drugs in my own life to a kid struggling with their gender identity and some deep confusion that they're in. But I thought I was cool. I thought I was some hotshot. I thought I was great. And I was shooting heroin and doing horrific things. Spirit of deception. God, open people's eyes. God, deliver them from bondage. God, grant them repentance. And then we have to articulate the message of truth. So as we pray for light to shine, we then bring it forth. We bring forth a message of truth and light to a dying, sinning world. 866-34-TRUTH. Nathaniel in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fine, thank you.
Hey, Greg, I want to just thank God for you and your fire and your passion. Again, I totally agree with you. We're in crisis. I'm always listening to you, and I'm amazed with the revelations that, you know, I mean, that God gives you. This, but in terms of what you're speaking about, there are also some political barriers, and there's some involvement in terms of how the church and the organization have been initially set up with the government that mm-hmm. makes speaking out very difficult. Some people, like I remember, Dawson has speaked out about certain things, and he was attacked. So it's not that so many that pastors don't want to speak out. It's because basically they're being under attack also.
Oh, yeah, there's attack. And my only goal in speaking to pastors and leaders is to encourage, not to condemn, and to encourage them to be strong and to stand up and to say that you've got a lot more people behind you than you might even realize. But it was just, 50, 60 years ago that the tax code changed and that it became a crime or illegal for churches to speak out on certain issues, otherwise they'd lose their tax-exempt status.
Yeah.
Many have challenged that. Many pastors are speaking out in any case. But and certainly the time of the American Revolution, that would have been a very foreign idea. It was pastors and leaders that fueled a lot of that. But if it comes down to losing tax-exempt status, come on, people are losing their lives. People are losing their lives for Jesus. We're losing families. We're losing kids. And we're concerned about losing tax exemption. We shouldn't be foolish. We should be wise. But we should be fearless when it comes to doing the will of God. Thanks for weighing in, Nathaniel. Friends, I am sounding the alarm yet again. I am sounding the alarm because things are happening around us that are so radical. Things are happening around us that are so extreme that within a few years, our kids or our grandkids are going to say to us, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, what were you doing? Where were you when these things happened? Where were you when our liberties were taken away? Where were you when our schools changed so radically? What were you doing? Well, we had a great church service. Well, praise the Lord. We just got in our new building. All the worship was well. Okay, that's wonderful. I'm glad you're in a new building. I'm glad you had a great service. But what about our responsibility to society? As God's voice, let us speak up. Let us have wisdom. If you're a pastor or leader and really say, I just need some guidance here. I'm very strong in other areas, but need some guidance. Well, contact us. We'd love to help. If we come into different cities, we do our best to have pastors' meetings to equip and to strengthen. We're here to serve. We're here to serve. Let all of us shine forth. Let all of us stand for what is right. If you're able to get hold of this week's resource package, it ties in with exactly with what we're talking about. Two books in one, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, and It's Time to Rock the Boat, which is a call to God's people to rise up and preach a confrontational gospel. Every leader, I strongly encourage you to get those books. And then a six-hour class by Reverend Pat Mahoney. I mean, it'll charge you. It'll ignite your life on addressing Congress, culture, the media with the gospel, practical and life-changing. It's about $45 of material with postage, just $25 today, and we'll pay the postage. But call or order 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of deception, in the midst of people losing their way of the most fundamental areas of life, it is up to the church and it is up to the leaders of the church to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. If not us, then who? Well, did you hear about the firing of the Christian employee from Macy's? And is it true that the United States is now going to lead the world in campaigning for gay rights?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Have you considered what has happened in the last year in America? Have you considered that we've had the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, of gay men and women serving openly in the military, that we have now Congress working with encouragement of the president to repeal DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, that we have had presidential candidates attacked because their spouses are involved in helping people with unwanted same-sex attraction, that we have had a boy joining the Girl Scouts, that in England it was ruled that a Christian couple, ruled by the High Court of England, could no longer adopt or provide foster care for children lest the children got infected with Christianity, case put forward by gay activists, that we had Chastity Chaz Bono dancing with the stars, that we had last week Hillary Clinton make a major speech, a UN speech, calling on the nations of the world to work with the UN and establish LGBT rights around the world, meaning you cannot say in your country homosexual practice is illegal, and on and on and on. What has the church been doing in this last year? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. The number is always to call 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I got back from India, as many of you know, Monday afternoon, and just more jet lag than normal. I think I know why, for a couple of reasons, but more jet lag than normal. And normally I'd get my body clock going back to normal schedule pretty quickly. Well, it just didn't happen. I was up a good part of last night. I've been charged in my spirit, physically dragging, but charged in my spirit. I want you to know, after the first hour of broadcasting we had today, I am supercharged in my spirit, and I want to hear from you. I've got a question, and I want to hear from you. I want to get your perspective. Do you believe that pastors and Christian leaders should be watchmen on the wall and serve as prophetic voices to the society and to the church? And should they address political issues? Pastors, leaders, is this part of our calling? Is this part of what the Lord is giving us to do? Is this part of us being salt and light? From the pulpits of America, should we be talking about abortion? Should we be talking about homosexual activism? Should we be talking about human trafficking? Should we be talking about gang problems in our cities? Should we be talking about social injustice? Or is that mixing the world with spiritual things? Or is my very question an absurd question? Because we live in this world, and everything we do interacts with this world. No matter how spiritual we are, we live in this world. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me ask the question again. Do you believe that pastors and Christian leaders should be watchmen on the wall and serve as prophetic voices to the society and to the church? And should they address political issues? The very beginning of this program, I made reference to Macy's firing an employee. There was a woman, Natalie Johnson, a Christian woman. She saw a young man who was dressed as a woman come out of a woman's fitting room and said, "You can't go back in there." Just politely told him, because it's for women only. He insisted that he's female. She said, "No, you're wearing makeup and girls' clothing, but you're male." Ended up that they protested. They said the cross-dresser was there with five other individuals. The group argued with profane language that Macy's is LGBT friendly. Okay, anyone can shop there. Doesn't mean a man dressing as a woman uses a woman's fitting room. What about the women? What about the women that are in there? Anyway, this employee said, "I'm a Christian. I'm not going to violate my beliefs. You're a man, not a woman." Got fired. Fired. We'll be back.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There's a book I got used a few years ago. I've only read parts of it. I want to read more of it. Black Prophets of Justice, Activist Clergy Before the Civil War, Six Leaders, Two Were Fugitive Slaves, and How God Used Them as Pastors in the Presbyterian Church, Congregational Churches of their day, to make a difference with social activism against slavery. Of course they're going to address these things, especially those that were fugitive slaves. Of course they're going to address these things, and it's only right to. How could they not? 866-34-TRUTH. I'll say it yet again. The greatest problem in America is not so much the presence of darkness, but the absence of light. So, a report from Los Angeles a little over a week ago, CBS, it's that time of the year when the familiar sight of Salvation Army bell ringers and their red kettles make their debut as stores across the Southland. But one group is calling for a boycott of the charity this Christmas season. Gay and lesbian activists have accused the Salvation Army of discrimination against homosexuals because of its affirmation of traditional marriage and other biblical viewpoints. Its statement of faith does affirm that there is no scriptural support for same-sex unions as equal to or as an alternative to heterosexual marriage, a position that has won LGBT activists urging people to skip giving to the Army altogether. And there's a Facebook page and other pages, websites, that have been launched saying, boycott the Salvation Army. Don't donate to them. According to Andy Thayer, co-founder of the Gay Liberation Network, we are urging a boycott of the Salvation Army because it uses its selective interpretation of the Bible. In other words, the way the church has always read the scriptures and the Jewish community has read the scriptures for 2,000 or more years. It uses its selective interpretation of the Bible to promote anti-LGBT people and employment benefits and leadership positions within the Army. On its website, the Salvation Army offers its services to anyone without regard to sexual orientation. While the words are nice, their actions speak volumes, said Bill Browning, editor-in-chief of the influential LGBT blog, The Balerico Project. They blatantly ignore the position statement and deny LGBT people services unless they renounce their sexuality and same-sex relationships. Oh, so in other words, Salvation Army is ministering to a poor person, feeding a poor person. They won't feed that poor person unless if the person is gay, and unless that person says, I will stop being homosexual. Then you'll feed me, yeah. Come on. Nonsense. Maybe they weren't trying to say that. That's certainly the way it came across. We are in the mess we're in because the church has not lived right and spoken right. Simple. Very simple. America's in the mess it's in today because the church has not lived right. That's all of us. That's something we all have to examine our hearts about. And we as leaders have not adequately spoken up. Looking at where we are, we're on different hours, different parts of America. I know one major city we're in right now. Pastor of a megachurch told me that he meets with other megachurch pastors on a regular basis in his city, and he is the only one who in any way, from any angle, is addressing the subject of homosexuality. The others have withdrawn from it. It's too hot to handle. I'll come back to that in a moment. But I think it's useful if you're a leader to say, hey, I'm going to take a stand, not in anger, not in hatred, not in malice, with wisdom, with compassion, led by the Spirit, but I'm going to take a stand. I think it's helpful for leaders to know that the congregants want you to speak up and speak out, not to make every sermon a political diatribe and not to just talk only about social issues, but to include social issues as part of the gospel of the kingdom that we preach. 866-34-TRUTH. Hurley in Boston. Lost Hurley there. Bob in Chelsea, Massachusetts. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. Is this? Did you say Bob? Because there was little interference.
I said Bob. You are the
okay,
man.
Okay, there was little. Yes. I'm an evangelist in Boston, and I've been out here for over 30 years. And I've had Christians off and on ask me, do I ever get persecuted? Because I take a stand by the grace of God. And I get a sense, a lot of times, that basically They're afraid to get attacked or afraid. And the leaders have to be bold and teach the people to stand. And see, when they have a fear of men, that's a snare.
And it's a terrible snare. It's terribly
really
paralyzing,
is, you know,
Bob.
And I know it's not an easy job. I'm not a pastor. You know, I know it's not easy. I have to shepherd sheep. But see, these sheep are not strong. This stuff that's going to come, the fear that they fear is going to come upon them, and they're going to have to face this. You see, this stuff is coming to this country now, and people, pastors, have got to take a stand so that the people are ready, because when they're not ready, they're going to be in serious trouble with their jobs and everything else.
Yeah.
Because
let me just say this. If we don't speak up and speak out when it's easy, right?
Right. Exactly.
I get attacked, you get attacked, but it's relatively minor. No one's burning our house down.
Exactly.
No one's beating us into a coma. So I just came back from India last week. During the water baptisms, we baptized people who've been beaten for the faith. Six straight brothers we baptized have all been beaten for the faith. Young Hindu, former Hindu lady, her whole family's turned against her, and she was asked before being baptized, was she going to follow Jesus no matter what, even if her family put her out, even by life or by death? And yet, we're so timid when it costs us almost nothing. Someone
right.
posts a nasty article about us online or says something nasty on Facebook or a newspaper article comes out blasting us, and we're ready to run with our tail between our legs. How are we going to stand when it gets rough? You know, if I can't walk up the steps without having to stop and catch my breath because I'm so out of shape, how am I going to run a mile, let alone a marathon?
Listen, you're 1,000% right. And I'm telling you what's going to happen is when this stuff gets more and more where they're going to have to face it, they're going to find out. They missed the boat. They missed the open door when it was open and easy, and now it's not
yes,
going to be that easy.
Yes,
they missed an open, wide-open door to take a stand, and of course we're going to go no matter what happens. Our life is our life. Listen, it's a martyr. When you're a witness, it says in the Bible that you're to be a martyr. That's what it means to be a witness for Christ. I mean, in Acts 1:8.
Yeah, in fact,
if you're not
Bob,
willing to be that way, then you're not— you're saving your life to whatever degree that you're willing to lay down your life.
What's interesting, Bob, is that the word for witness just means witness in Acts 1:8. But because those who were called to be witnesses often had to pay with their lives, that to testify, to witness, became synonymous with being a martyr.
Right.
Look, you're absolutely right when you talk about the challenges that pastors have. I preach in churches. I've worked with leadership in churches for decades. I'm a supporter of local churches. I'm a supporter of those that are seeking to honor the Lord. What we're saying is, for the sake of liberty, for the sake of gospel truth, for the sake of our kids, our grandkids, for the sake of our flocks, we've got to stand up. We've got to sound the alarm. We've got to speak truth and clarity to a very lost and confused generation. We've got to pour into our young people and bring biblical, godly values to them. And I believe that if pastors will stand more boldly, you're going to have some people leave you, but others are going to embrace you, and you may go down in numbers, but you'll go up in quality. You'll probably go up in commitment. You'll probably even go up financially because people will stand with you for what's right and invest in a cause, and then you can get involved in making a difference. Hey, Bob, thanks for weighing in. Let's honor Jesus. Let's bless those that may be struggling, and yes, let us speak out now. Well, we have the time. Jeremiah 12, when Jeremiah was going through a rough time, God said to him, if you get worn out running with the footmen, how are you going to run with the horsemen? Bob, that's exactly what you were saying. Thank you, sir. 866-34-TRUTH. So I ask you, if you're a congregant, you're a member of a church, a member of a house church, a member of a mega church, a member of a messianic congregation, you're a congregant, do you want your leaders to speak up? I'm not asking you to name the names or anything like that. Do you want your leaders to speak up, or do you say, nah, if they started doing that, man, that's just a distraction. I just want to get fed so I can build up my spirit and have joy during the week because it's just kind of tough. I don't want to be distracted with these other issues. Or do you say, no, of course we have to address these issues. Are you going to tell me that if Jesus was in our midst today, he would not be addressing any of the moral, societal issues on any level? Or that his people would not if he was raising up disciples? You say, well, they just go out and preach the gospel. Okay, does the gospel include a message of repentance? Does the gospel include a message of turn away from sin and turn to God? John the Immerser, who prepared the way for Jesus the Messiah, did he not rebuke Herod for his adultery? He said, but if I did that, I mean, a lot of the people in my church are, oh, okay, well then, let's do what's right with compassion and grace and mercy, but let us do what is right. We owe it to God. We owe it to the body. We owe it to the world. Back with your calls. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
During our brief break here, I was just corresponding with some of our friends at the station at WNIV in Atlanta. So all those listening in Atlanta, just talking to the studio during the break here. If you ever see me posting on Facebook during radio, no, I can't multitask to the point that while I'm speaking to you, I can also be typing coherently on Facebook or in emails. But we do have a minute or two of breaks here and there, and I'm able to get some stuff done. So we kind of run hard the entire time we're on the air, moving fast, running hard. I want to talk to you in the next half hour a little bit more about what the United States has done in terms of making demands on the world. And want to use your tax dollars to promote gay activism worldwide. My question, though, is should we, as spiritual leaders in America, be addressing these social issues and where relevant political issues? You say, well, I could just read through the New Testament, and I don't find Paul talking about this as I'm reading the epistles, and I don't find the other letters directly addressing this. For the most part, I agree. I could take exception to that here and there. For the most part, I agree, except they are talking about how we should live. They are talking about marriage and family. They are talking about our conduct in the world. They are talking about the righteous way that we're supposed to live in the world. And Paul does say in Ephesians 5 that we are light and that light exposes darkness. Does he not say that? And we have the message of the Gospels of repentance, and we have the Old Testament, which is an example in many ways leading up to this, and the fact that the New Testament body is a prophetic body. Prophets speak God's message to the world, to the people of God. 866-34-TRUTH. Tom in Greenwich, Connecticut. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Tom. Tom has gone silent. Tom has gone silent on us. Was that a prophetic message? He wanted to say that leaders should speak up. By the way, every call I got in the first hour, and thus far, as I'm looking at the screen, calls so far this hour, everyone says leaders need to be speaking out. I just find that interesting. Now, I know you're listening to me, which means that you have certain agreement with this, especially on a Wednesday when we focus on the world and moral cultural issues. And our broadcast is a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. So you're already with me on those things, but I find it interesting that one after another is saying, yes, leaders that have called, congregants that have called, said yes, yes, yes. Sharon in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, I'm not really sure exactly what makes all of this political. Because, I mean, if you go back to Leviticus, it talks about, you know, men sleeping with men, women sleeping with women. You see incest. You see all of this. Then you go to the New Testament, and Christ, we're not under the law. But the law of Christ, I see, is almost harder because it says, you know, you don't have to kill someone if you just hate someone.
You make a very important point, Sharon, which is, why do we make a distinction? Well, this is a social issue. Yeah, it's a spiritual issue.
It's all a spiritual issue.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
you
exactly.
can't. It's spiritual way before it ever became social. And it's like, used to, homosexuals, lesbians were in the closet, and there was a stand whether right, wrong, or indifferent, there was stands against certain types of living. And now it seems like that the and I really have a problem with calling everything a church, because the church is the local assembly. The real church is the Church of God, the Bride of Christ. But when you say the church and you look at the local assembly, then it is so weak. Pastors are not taking stands, so it's the whole counsel of God being preached.
Yeah, and think of this, Sharon, that the end of 2 Timothy 3 and the beginning of 2 Timothy 4 indicate that God's word is useful for rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, as well as teaching and encouraging. It's not just encourage, teach. There is rebuking, there is correcting, and it's done in love. And thank God for those who are speaking out, but it grieves me when so many people will say to me, thank God you're speaking out on these things because nobody else is. Of course, there are others, but the fact that it seems so rare to people. Look, I know having to address the issues of homosexuality, homosexual activism, by the burden of the Lord, by calling of the Lord to reach out and resist, to reach out to the people with compassion, to resist the agenda with courage. I didn't ask for this assignment. I've been graced and privileged by the Lord to have it. But once I started addressing things, I want to just give you this image. I'm kind of running down the street in one direction, and everybody's running away in the opposite direction. It's like, what's going on?
It's the picture of repentance. And, you know, over in Chronicles, he says, if my people, the verse right before that says, but when it doesn't rain, when there's a famine, when there's locusts, you know, I mean, here, I'm pleased with you, Solomon. This is a good thing. However, when things change, when they do a 180, it's my people who are called by my name. Every day, Dr. Brown, I pray almost like the prayer of Hosea. My people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, you're on the radio. I listen to W. True most all the time, other than that, Christian music, because I need to be fed. I need my spirit. I want him to be the Michelin man. I don't want him to be anorexic in me.
I understand.
However, you know, I mean, Christian radio is listened to by very few professing Christians.
Yeah, well, let me just jump in because I got a break coming up. I appreciate what you have to say. There are plenty of Christians listening to Christian radio, which is why it's on the air and able to continue on the air. I would dare say, though, that sometimes the emphasis on some stations is on being so positive that you can never confront anything. And thank you for weighing in, Sharon. I appreciate it. Sorry to just cut in there, but we're getting close to a break, and I needed to say a couple of things. Some years ago, we approached a Christian station before I had my own broadcast, and we wanted to air some announcement about stuff happening in greater Charlotte area. And we went to one prominent Christian station, and mainly music station, but they had news service things. And we said, okay, we want to make an announcement about thus and such. We want to call people to action on this. And they said, oh, no, we can't run that ad. We only run positive ads. Just go read through the words of Jesus, read through the New Testament, and cut out everything that's not positive. How much Bible do you have left based on that interpretation? All right, we're going to come back, get your calls. I want to talk to you about the Hillary Clinton speech and the memo put forth by the president on some of these issues. But I want to encourage you, get hold of our special resource offer. Two books in one of mine, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, and It's Time to Rock the Boat. These two books will really shake and impact you, together with a six-hour class by my dear friend Pat Mahoney that will supercharge you on confronting Congress and the media and society with the gospel. It's about $45 of material. You can get it all on a CD and the two books in one for just $25, postage paid. So call today, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978 for the special resource offer. Trust me, you will be blessed.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you know which country just swore in last week the gay prime minister? So this is the first country now. Well, actually, in Europe, officially has its second openly gay prime minister with the swearing in of Elio Di Rupo as Belgium's leader. And in Iceland, there's a lesbian head of state. Just in case you didn't know that. And America is now saying to the world, time to step up and recognize that you cannot oppose homosexual practice. You cannot oppose bisexuality. You cannot oppose transgenderism. And we're going to put pressure on you. Hillary Clinton, I declared before heads of state gathered at the United Nations, no country should deny people their rights because of who they love, which is why we must stand up for the rights of gays and lesbians everywhere. President Obama. Under my administration, agencies engaged abroad have already begun taking action to promote the fundamental human rights of LGBT people everywhere. Our deep commitment to having to advance the human rights of all people is strengthened when we as the United States bring our tools to bear to vigorously advance this goal. We all agree that people should have the rights of protection, that people should not be beaten up and killed. But the idea that we're going to tell all of Africa, 1 billion plus people, you can no longer have laws that prevent homosexual practice. And you have to completely embrace transgender activism and all of its goals. And we're going to put pressure on you to do it. This is an outrage. In the name of morality, we are promoting our immorality, something that came out of the sexual revolution of the 60s, and now seeking to normalize that worldwide. Who gave us the right to do that? Thanks for joining us, Michael Brown. Yeah, kind of heated up today, passionate about these issues. We've had a very fruitful and intense 90 minutes of broadcasting so far. Now we come to our last half hour. Welcome to the program. I've been asking a question through these 90 minutes, and thus far I have not gotten a single dissenting voice. My question, do you believe that pastors and Christian leaders should be watchmen on the wall and serve as prophetic voices to the society and to the church, and should they address political issues? Ask it again. Do you believe that pastors and Christian leaders should be watchmen on the wall and serve as prophetic voices to the society and to the church, and should they address political issues? I appreciate what a caller said a little bit earlier. Who said these are political? Sexual morality issues are not political, social. These are addressed throughout the New Testament. Issues of justice, injustice, oppression, those are spiritual issues. There's not this dichotomy between spiritual and social. It's one thing to make every Sunday sermon or every Bible study into a political lesson. I focus on certain things in the news, but I was looking at certain things going on with well-known people that you read about all the time. It's like, I don't even know who this person is. I'm not following everything in politics. I am burdened, though. I am deeply burdened. I am deeply burdened about our lack of voice in society, about our lack of sounding a clear message to the world. Is it because we don't want to offend people? Is it because we want to be relevant? Oh, yeah. We want to be so relevant to the world, we're going to become like the world to win the world. A lot of good that does. Picture somebody getting up to recruit people for Alcoholics Anonymous and speech is so slurred, stone cold drunk. Join the program. Oh, that's going to do a lot of good. You go by some gym, you know, it's advertising special offer to work out this month for free and try out our gym. You got pictures of people look like they're cut out of steel. You don't have some picture of a 600-pound man collapsing off the exercise bike and paramedics coming. Don't become like the world to win the world. You show what you're supposed to be, the change we can bring. We'll take your calls when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I'm really about to go to the phones. I want to hear from as many of you as possible. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, you can weigh in on our Facebook page where there is, as always, a lively discussion going on answering this question. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Come on, at the time of the American Revolution, there were pastors and Christian leaders who were leading the way to address issues of paramount importance in the society. It was preachers of righteousness who helped turn the tide with slave trade and slavery here in America. We need preachers of righteousness to rise up. And I tell you, pastor friends, Christian leader friends, as we do, as we stand as prophetic witnesses, we will make a difference. And people will get behind you. And in fact, as we come to Denver to teach at Denver Theological Seminary, a week on Jewish apologetics, the second week of January, on that January 7th, God willing, that's a major day at Pastor Gino's in Calvary Chapel. The leadership meeting, this is for pastors and ministry leaders only, with your spouses as well. We need to call to tell us you're coming because we need a head count. So the sooner you can call, the better. The number is 303-933-8733 for Calvary Chapel. 303-933-8733. It'll be 11 to 12:30 on Saturday the 7th. I want to talk about our calling to be a prophetic voice to the society. I want to share some examples of why we must stand and help us to do it. And then we've got a special event Saturday afternoon from 1 to 4 for everyone, general public, and then focusing on Israel Saturday night at the service there. God has put something in us that the world needs. God has put truth in us. God has put light in us. God has put righteousness in us. God has put hope in us. God has put values in us. God has put wisdom in us. God has put within us the greatest treasure of all, Jesus, the Son of God. And we are his ambassadors. We are his witnesses. And while our primary message is preaching Jesus and calling people to him, it is a comprehensive message that addresses evils in the society and needs in the society. And as Jesus said, that we are the salt, we are the light. As Paul wrote, the light exposes darkness that is part of who we are. We are God's prophetic voices in the earth today. Let us rise and shine. Ben in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Hello? Ben. Yes, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about what you were saying about leadership. Let's see, I was going to ask, with separation of church and state, we know that it is a good thing because we don't want anybody to tell how anybody else should believe because that's not the way we should do it. Mm-hmm. How do us as Christians talk in political terms without being oppressive, because ultimately we want to help people,
yep.
But we do want support. And I wanted to say first, before you answer my question, that I think, how you talked about people that are getting killed for the things that they believe, they will support it anyways. I think sometimes it's complacency in America, in that even though we don't get really abused for what we believe, we think, oh, well, then the stakes aren't high. The stakes aren't high, so then that means we shouldn't really support in a strong way.
Right, right. A casual gospel with casual commitment. Look, when I was speaking in Phoenix some weeks ago, the leaders of the congregation there wanted to take me out for a special dinner. Husband and wife wanted to take me out for a special dinner. And we went to Morton's Steakhouse. Morton's Steakhouse is mega expensive. I mean, maybe you've eaten there a lot, but to us it's mega expensive. It's kind of a once in a blue moon type of treat. And the people wait on you hand and foot there, and you get unbelievable steak, or it's remarkable. The food there is just remarkable. The quality of it, the amount of it. Well, I didn't go there. We didn't go there that night to clean tables. If they said, all right, we just need a few people now to clean the bathroom, We didn't go there for that. We went there to be waited on. You follow me. That's how a lot of us look at the gospel. It's just like, well, this is this wonderful, lovely thing that God's given me, and now I'm just blessed with it. And well, commitment. Who talks about commitment? Who talks about taking up the cross? Sometimes our message is so, quote, seeker-sensitive that we're no longer spirit-sensitive or God-sensitive. When do we tell people that following Jesus means take up the cross, which means the end of your life and the beginning of a new life in him, which means go to the place of death so that you can leave a new life in obedience to the Son of God? That it's not about me, it's about him. As Paul wrote, different contexts, you've died. Your life is now hidden with the Messiah in God. So Ben's point before we lost him there is true, that a lot of us have such a compromised, casual attitude. That it's like going to a nice restaurant. Well, if I don't like the service, I'll go somewhere else. That's a lot of us church hop like that. Well, the parking's not good. Or the program ran a little late with children. Is that what it's about? Is that the depth of our commitment? As far as separation of church and state, yeah, rightly understood that this is to keep the state out of the church, that we as God's people have absolute freedom to address any issue. We have God, as God's people, have absolute freedom and, in fact, a mandate to address pressing social issues so that we can give God's wisdom and life into the society. Why do we just think, well, the world is going to do the worldly things, run things, and we just have our church services? What kind of notion is that? Aren't we in the world but not of it? 866-34-TRUTH. Vic in Denver, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you doing?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Glad to hear it. Listen, I agree with you 100% that we are to be the watchman on the wall there. I lead a men's group here in Denver. And, you know, we're one of those churches where nobody ever wants to say anything negative, and I've been pushing the bounds here. And I'm finding that the younger guys are more willing to go where we're supposed to go in love than the older guys. And the last thing I want to say is I called yesterday and made a reservation for two to see you here in Denver in January.
Awesome, man.
Good work.
Yeah, awesome. It'll be great to see you. I'm really looking forward to January 7th. And all right, well, we lost Vic, but thanks. Vic said we wanted to say and politely got off the air. I wanted to probe about the negative thing, going to a church where you can't say anything negative. Got to be positive. Prophets only speak encouraging words, only encourage. Like, oh, really? So there's no prophetic literature in the New Testament where Jesus is rebuking churches in Asia Minor saying, repent or else? There's no prophetic literature in the New Testament where Paul talks about bringing correction, bringing rebuke? God help us. God help us. We have gotten so soft and so compromised and so wimpy. It's no surprise the world is as messed up as it is. Is it a surprise? If you got a couple of candles, and those candles are supposed to light up a football field for a night game, you got three people holding candles and the candles melting down, it's no wonder nobody can see what's happening and you can't play the game. We need some bright light shining. That's you, that's me, and leaders in particular. That's us. 866-34-TRUTH. Pat in Des Moines, Iowa, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Brown. I agree with so much of what you're saying. I've been on the line for a little bit, so my phone may die on me here, but hopefully, Lord willing, I'll get to say what I want to say. You know, not only do the pastors need to be involved, but Christians, we as Christians need to be involved.
Absolutely.
You said something that was so important. You know, the American Revolution was started in the pulpits of the churches. We as Christians are salt and light in this world. God has been faithful to raise up people who tell us the truth about issues that are important, whether it be a moral issue like gay marriage, whether it be energy, whether it be banking. The information is out there, and we as Christians, first of all, need to be informed on these issues and need to get involved, whether it be I'm the director in the Conservative Caucus, I'm part of a political action committee, I do give the gospel. I do give out Bible tracts. That's very important. And I feel equally important is my responsibility to become knowledgeable on these important issues and to get involved. Look, children of Israel, the children of Israel were told that their leaders were leading them astray. If our leaders are leading us astray, it's our responsibility to get rid of them and put leaders in who are not going to lead us astray.
Yeah, and Trey, let me say this. America is not Israel. Our elected officials are not like the kings of Israel. But that's the difference, that we actually have a role to play. And if we are going to, I'm sorry, called you.
That's fine. I know what you're talking to.
Yeah, I was looking at the wrong. Hey, I got back from India yesterday. I had one jet lag moment yesterday. I think I had my jet lag moment here. But Pat, the fact is, we have a role to play. If we're going to we shouldn't be bad-mouthing any politician, but if we're going to say someone's doing wrong, what are we doing to get a right person in office? That's not the main focus of who we are, but it's part of our responsibility, isn't it?
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, one of our students at Fire just posted this on my Facebook page. Hey, Dr. Brown, thought this article might interest you, considering your recent posting of another article concerning Tim Tebow. Abortion gang, donate $10 to pro-abort group every time Tim Tebow scores touchdown. He's got everybody's attention. Pray for him. His testimony remains strong. I believe it will, but pray for him because there's always temptation. There's always an enemy wanting to put pressure on you and catch you in a vulnerable moment because Jesus is being discussed around the nation based on what is happening in Denver football games. Wild. Okay, before I go back to the phones, Hillary Clinton gave a major speech last week. The only reason I didn't cover it was because of my schedule being in India and the things we were focused on there. But in this major speech, UN-based speech, she is calling on the nations of the world for the acceptance of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people, meaning behavior, attraction, desire, activism. And she said, look, the most challenging issues arise when people cite religious or cultural values as a reason to violate or not to protect the human rights of LGBT citizens. She said these objections are not, quote, unlike the justification offered for violent practices toward women like honor killings, widow burning, or female genital mutilation. In other words, religious people have reasons, Muslims for honor killings and Hindus for widow burning, and then African countries, female genital mutilations, some Muslim countries. She's saying this is based on religious belief. It's wrong. It's terrible. Religion justified slavery. It's wrong. It's terrible. Well, that's just like the religious opposition to homosexuality. Just get over it. Well, many nations in Africa are already saying, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to tell us this? Muslim world, you wonder if they're even going to pay attention to her speech. But you have to remember, we are a cesspool. We are a moral cesspool in America. We are the world's exporters of pornography and materialism and greed and carnality. And who do we think we are? Who does Mrs. Clinton think she is? Who does President Obama think he is? As we put forward these edicts and speeches and make demands and tell the world, you are all going to accept gay activism now. And America's leading the way, even though, yeah, we have to improve what we're doing. That's what she says, but America's lead the way in this. People of the world say, we don't want your divorce rate. We don't want your teen pregnancies. We don't want your immoral TV shows. We don't want your godless values. We don't want men dressed up as women in our ladies' bathrooms. We don't want that. Back up, America. Get your own act in order. And those nations have every right to say that to us. And I say that as an American. All right, Trey in Douglasville, Georgia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown, I appreciate your show here, and I completely agree that pastors are completely missing in action on many of the issues that you're talking about.
Yes, so what do you feel is the current situation? Where are we at right now as a church in America as far as failing to address these issues?
Well, I think what you're getting at is it's a fundamental misunderstanding of the very nature of the gospel. And that's the disturbing thing about it. When you say that there are pastors in megachurches, they meet and they just don't want to talk about it. It's too hot to handle. That is a fundamental misunderstanding of the gospel.
Yep.
Because if you look at how did Christ preach the gospel, I've heard Christians talk about or the understanding being that, well, we'll get people into our churches and get them saved, and then at that point we'll talk about morality.
Right, and then when does that happen, though?
And
when
does
that
happen? It never happen because right. It's too sensitive. Well, we'll wait. We'll talk about it on an individual basis or something like that. But when we find out that someone has done something wrong, and of course it never happens like that. But that's not the way that Christ preached the gospel. He talked about the moral issues first so that people understood what God was like, what he required of people. I think the other thing is that we misunderstand about Christ is Christ is portrayed now in the modern gospel and the modern church as always having a smile on his face.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what he was like. He could be very stern and very critical. And
it's interesting. Yeah. It says in Hebrews 1 that he was anointed with the oil of joy more than any of his companions. In Luke, the 10th chapter, full of joy by the Holy Spirit, it speaks of Jesus in that context. And Hebrews 12 tells us that he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. At the same time, he weeps over Jerusalem. He weeps at the gravesite of Lazarus before raising him. He rebukes religious hypocrites. He sighs with pain at the blindness and darkness of his people. The idea that he's just kind of happy-go-lucky skipping through the field and throwing the dandelions, that of course it's a misnomer. Joy is one thing, but there is pain in his heart, and it's a pain that remains there. Hey, I've got to run, but thank you, sir, for weighing in with clarity. I'm sure you had more to say that was worthy. Let me grab one more call. Clinton in Denver, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
I just second what he just said, sir, and I wanted to say I watched a movie called Christmas with a capital C that I would recommend your listeners watch. It addresses us as Christians and how we deal with social issues. It was really, really good. And
Is it a new movie, Clinton?
Oh, yeah. They had a free local showing at a Mississippi a Baptist church on Mississippi Avenue in Aurora. But basically it was called Christmas with a capital C, where they were trying to take Christ out of Christmas.
Got it.
And it was a wonderful lesson on how Christians deal with social issues. And it dealt with the hypocrisy of the Christians and the pride that we struggle with, too, and standing up for what is right. So I just wanted to recommend that. And as far as pastors, I think what pastors need to do is teach us our identity in Christ. Because if you know who you are in Christ, you're ready to preach the gospel and you're ready to lay down your life for him. But when you don't understand who you are in Christ,
yep,
and you think Christ is there to serve you
exactly,
rather than you serving him.
Right. He lays down his life for us, and now we give our lives for him. Hey, Clint, I've got to run. We're at the end of the program, but thank you, sir. I'm going to check that movie out, Christmas with a capital C. In fact, this coming Monday, is our annual Christmas debate. Should we celebrate Christmas or not? This coming Monday, don't miss it. Tomorrow's broadcast, I'll have a Messianic Jewish colleague talking about keys to Jewish evangelism. I want to strongly encourage you to get the special resource today. Two books in one of mine. It's Time to Rock the Boat and Whatever Happened to the Power of God. These books will ignite you. Trust me. The Lord graced me to write them, and you'll be ignited as you read them. And a six-hour class by my friend Pat Mahoney. He is a live wire on confronting Congress and the media and the culture with the gospel. It's about $45 of material with postage. Instead, this week, $25 for all of it, and we'll pay the postage. But call or order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978 to order. You will be blessed. My bottom line, I sense a whole lot of people out there saying it's time to rock the boat. I sense a whole lot of boat rockers rising up saying we will take a stand and we will make a difference. I know this is the hour for the people of God to rise up and glorify Jesus, whether by life or by death.